Happy Sunday. The content of this program is intended for the blind and print impaired. Hello, my name is Jim DeJunis, and I'm reading to you for the North Carolina Reading Service. And the name of our program today is Reflections. For the next half hour, we'll read the Holy Bible and a devotional called Jesus Calling, written by Sarah Young. As our tradition is, we always start with prayer, and then we ask the Heavenly Father to please be with us today. Please be with our listening audience, their families, their loved ones, and be with the North Carolina Reading Service. Father, we give you glory, praise, and honor for this beautiful day, for this day of joy. As our days start getting a little cooler, as our days become a little shorter, Father, we give everything to you. We give you all honor and praise and glory, and we ask that you open our hearts to your word, open our minds to the messages you want us to live and to share. Father, we're so blessed to have this day and to have this time together. Please let us offer to you in glory. In Jesus' name we pray. So, here we are, September 13th. Sarah Young teaches us, "Come to me and rest. Give your mind a break from its habitual judging. You form judgments about this situation, that situation, this person, that person, yourself, even the weather, as if judging were your main function in life. But I created you first and foremost to know me and to live in rich communication with me. When you become preoccupied with passing judgment, you usurp my role. Relate to me as a creature to creator, a sheep to shepherd, a subject to king, a piece of clay to potter. Allow me to have my way in your life. Rather than evaluating my ways with you, accept them thankfully. The intimacy I offer you is not an invitation to act as if you were my equal. Worship me as King of Kings while walking hand in hand with me down the path of life." What a beautiful sight. Can you just imagine holding God's hand, walking with him hand in hand down the path of life? That's exactly what the invitation for us all is to hold his hand on a daily basis, to love him and to worship him and to have that intimacy with him, that we may have his peace. We talked about his peace last week. It's available to all of us. It just requires us to have full faith and give him our full hearts. Sarah has a couple of scriptures here. First one's from Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. "Do not judge, or you too will be judged." John 17:3. "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." That is the definition of eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That is eternal life. Romans 9, verse 20 and 21. But who are you, man, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed to say to him who formed it, why did you make me this way? Does not the potter have the right to make out the same lump of clay, some pottery for noble purposes and some for common use? And then 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15. Which God will bring about his own time? God, the blessed and the only ruler, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So thank you, Sarah Young, for your time today. Always love her words of encouragement, and always love her words of wisdom. So we're going to pick up with chapter 31 of Isaiah. We're just a little less than halfway through the book of Isaiah, a long book in the Gospel, one of the longest, if not the longest, 66 chapters in all, and great wisdom. And we continue to hear about God's promises of punishment of sin, and at the same time, God's promises of reconciliation and his promises of everlasting life in Christ. Many, many prophecies of Jesus in the book of Isaiah. We heard a few last week. I'm sure we'll hear a few in the next several chapters as well. Chapter 31, entitled, "Woe to those who rely on Egypt. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help, who rely on horses, who trust in the multitude of their chariots and in the great strength of their horsemen, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or seek help from the Lord. Yet he too is wise and can bring disaster. He does not take back his words. He will rise up against the house of the wicked, against those who help evildoers. But the Egyptians are men and not God. Their horses are flesh and not spirit. When the Lord stretches out his hand, he who helps will stumble. He who is helped will fall. Both will perish together. This is what the Lord says to me. And again, he's saying this to Isaiah. A lion growls, a great lion over his prey. And though a whole band of shepherds is called together against him, he is not frightened by their shouts or disturbed by their clamor. So the Lord Almighty will come down to do battle on Mount Zion and on its heights. Like birds hovering overhead, the Lord Almighty will shield Jerusalem. He will shield it and deliver it. He will pass over it and will rescue it. Return to him, you who have greatly revolted against Israelites. For in that day, every one of you will reject the idols of silver and gold your sinful hands have made. Assyria will fall by a sword that is not of man. A sword not of mortals will devour them. They will flee before the sword, and their young men will be put down to forced labor. Their stronghold will fall because of terror. At sight of the battle standard, their commanders will panic, declares the Lord, whose fire is in Zion, whose furnaces is in Jerusalem. Chapter 32. The Kingdom of Righteousness. See, a king will reign in righteousness, and rulers will rule with justice. Each man will be like a shelter from the wind, and a refuge from the storm, like streams of water in the desert, and the shadow of a great rock in a thirsty land. Then the eyes of those who see will no longer be closed, and the eyes of those who hear will listen. The mind of the rash will know and understand, and the stammering tongue will be fluent and clear. No longer will the fool be called noble, nor the scoundrel be made respected. No longer will the fool be called noble, nor the scoundrel be highly respected. For the fool speaks folly, his mind is busy with evil, he practices ungodliness and spreads error concerning the Lord. The hungry he leaves empty, and from the thirsty he withholds water. The scoundrel's methods are wicked, he makes up evil schemes to destroy the poor with lies, even when the plea of the needy is just. But the noble man makes noble plans, and by noble deeds he stands. You women who are so complacent, rise up and listen to me. You daughters who feel secure, hear what I have to say. In little more than a year, you who feel secure will tremble. The grape harvest will fall, and the harvest of fruit will not come. Tremble, you complacent women. Shudder, you daughters who feel secure. Strip off your clothes, put sackcloth around your waist. Beat your breast for the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vines, and for the land of my people, a land overgrown with thorns and briars. Yes, mourn for all houses of merriment and for this city of revelry. The fortress will be abandoned, the noisy city deserted. Citadel and watchtower will become wasteland forever. The delight of donkeys, a pasture for flocks, till the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, and the desert becomes a fertile field, and the fertile field seems like a forest. Justice will dwell in the desert, and the righteousness live in the fertile field. The fruit of the righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever. My people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. Though hail flattens the forest and the city is leveled completely, how blessed you will be, sowing your seed by every stream, and letting your cattle and donkeys range free. Chapter 33. Distress and help. Woe to you, O destroyer, you who have not been destroyed. And here God is talking about Assyria. Woe to you, O traitor, you who have not been betrayed. When you stop destroying, you will be destroyed. When you stop betraying, you will be betrayed. O Lord, be gracious to us. We long for you. Be our strength every morning, our salvation in time of distress. At the thunder of your voice, the peoples flee. When you rise up, the nations scatter. Your plunder, O nations, is harvested by local locust. Like a swarm of locusts, men pounce on it. The Lord is exalted, he dwells on high. He will fill Zion with justice and righteousness. He will be the sure foundation of your times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. Look, Their brave men cried out loud in the streets. The envoys of peace weep bitterly. The highways are deserted. No travelers are on the road. The treaty is broken. Its witnesses are despised. No one is respected. The land mourns and wastes away. Lebanon is ashamed and withers. Sharon is like the Arab, and Bashan and Carmel drop their leaves. Now will I arise, says the Lord. Now will I be exalted. Now will I be lifted up. You conceive chaff. You give birth to straw. You breathe in. Your breath is a fire that consumes you. The peoples will be burned as if to lime. Like cut thorn bushes, they will be set ablaze. You who are far away, hear what I have done. You who are near, acknowledge my power. The sinners of Zion are terrified, trembling grips of the godless. Who of us can dwell with the consuming fire? Who of us can dwell with everlasting burning? He who walks righteously and speaks what is right, who rejects gain from extortion and keeps his hand from accepting bribes, who stops his ears against plots of murder and shuts his eyes against contemplating evil, this is the man who dwells on the heights, whose refuge will be in the mountain fortress. His bread will be supplied, and the water will not fail him. Your eyes will see the king in his beauty, and view a land that stretches afar. In your thoughts you will ponder the former terror. Where is that chief officer? Where is the one who took the revenue? Where is the officer in charge of the towers? You will see those arrogant people no more, those people of obscure speech with their strange, incomprehensible tongue. Look upon Zion, the city of our festivals. Your eyes will see Jerusalem, a peaceful abode, a tent that will be removed. Its stakes will never be pulled up, nor any of its ropes broken. There the Lord will be our mighty one. It will be like a place of broad rivers and streams. No galley with oars will ride them. No mighty ship will sail on them. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. It is he who will save us. Your rigging hangs loose. The mast is not held secure. The sail is not spread. Then an abundance of spoils will be divided, and even the lame will carry off to plunder. No one living in Zion will say, I am ill. And the sins of those who dwell there will be forgiven. Chapter 34. Come near, you nations, and listen. Pay attention, you peoples. Let the earth hear and all that is in it, the world and all that comes out of it. The Lord is angry with all nations. His wrath is upon all their armies. He will totally destroy them. He will give them over to slaughter. Their slain will be thrown out. Their dead bodies will send up a stench. The mountains will be soaked with their blood. All the stars of the heavens will be dissolved, and the sky rolled up like a scroll. All the starry host will fall like withering leaves on from the vine, like shriveled figs from the fig tree. My sword has drunk its fill in the heavens. See, it descends in judgment from on Edom, the people I have totally destroyed. The sword of the Lord is bathed in blood. It is covered with fat, the blood of lambs and goats, fat from kidneys of rams. For the Lord has a sacrifice in Bozra and a great slaughter in Edom. And the wild oxen will fall with them, the bull calves and the great bulls. Their land will be drenched with blood, and the dust will be soaked with fat. For the Lord has a day of vengeance, a year of retribution, to uphold Zion's cause. Edom's streams will be turned into pitch, her dust into burning sulfur. Her land will become blazing pitch. It will not be quenched night and day. Its smoke will rise forever. From generation to generation it will lie desolate. No one will ever pass through it again. The desert owl and the screech owl will possess it. The great owl and the raven will rest there. God will stretch out over Edom the measuring line of chaos and the plumb line of desolation. Her nobles will have nothing there to be called a kingdom. All her princesses will vanish away. Thorns will overrun her citadels, nettles and brambles her strongholds. She will become a haunt for jackals and a home for owls. Desert creatures will meet with hyenas, and wild goats will bleat to each other, that the night creatures will also repose and find for themselves places of rest. The owl will rest there and lay eggs. She will hatch them and care for her young until the shadow under the shadow of her wings. There also the falcons will gather, each with its mate. Look in the scroll of the Lord and read. None of these will be missing, not one lack her mate. For it is the mouth that has given the order, and his spirit will gather them together. He allots their portions, his hands distributes them by measure. They will possess it forever and dwell from generation to generation. Chapter 35. Give me one moment here. I just lost my spot. Let me make sure I find it. And I apologize. The desert and the parched land will be glad, and the wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will greatly rejoice and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will not be given up to it. The splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance. With divine retribution, he will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness, and the streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where the jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. It will be called for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there, and those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Chapter 36. In the 14th year of King Hezekiah's reign, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, attacked all the fortified cities of Judah and captured them. Then the king of Assyria sent his field commander with a large army to Lachish, the king Hezekiah, from Lachish to King Hezekiah at Jerusalem. When the commander stopped at the aqueduct of the upper pool on the road to the launderer's field, Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, the palace administrator, Shebna, the secretary, and Joah, son of Aspha, the recorder, went out to meet him. The field commander said to them, "Tell Hezekiah, this is what the great king, the king of Assyria, says. On what are you basing this confidence of yours? You say you have counsel and might for war, but you speak only empty words. On whom are you depending that you rebel against me? Look, I know you are depending on Egypt, that splintered reed of a staff, which pierces the hand of anyone who leans on it. Such is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who depend on him. But if you say to me, 'We are depending on the Lord our God,' isn't he the one whose high places and altars Hezekiah removed, saying to Judah and Jerusalem, 'You must worship before this altar'? Come now, make us a bargain with my master, the king of Assyria. I will give you 2,000 horses if you can put riders on them. How then can you repulse one officer of the least of my master's officials, even though you are depending on Egypt for chariots and horsemen? Furthermore, have I come to attack and destroy this land without the Lord? The Lord himself told me to march against this country and destroy it." Then Eliakim, Shebna, and Joah said to the field commander, "Please speak to your servants in Aramaic, since we understand it. Don't speak to us in Hebrew in the hearing of the people of all on the wall." But the commander replied, "Was it only to your master and you that my master sent me to say these things, and not to the people sitting on the wall, who, like you, will have to eat their own excrement and drink their own urine?" Then the commander stood and called out in Hebrew, "Hear the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. This is what the king says. Do not let Hezekiah deceive you. He cannot deliver you. Do not let Hezekiah persuade you to trust in the Lord when he says, 'The Lord will surely deliver us.' This city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah. This is what the king of Assyria says. Make peace with me and come out to me. Then each of you will eat fruit from your own vine and fig tree and drink water from your own cistern, until I come and take you to a land like your own, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards. do not let Hezekiah mislead you when he says, the Lord will deliver us. Have the gods of any other nation delivered their lands from the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the kings of Sepharim? Have they rescued Samaria from my hand? Who are all the gods of these countries who have been able to save their lands from me? How then can the Lord deliver Jerusalem from my hand? But the people remained silent and said nothing in reply, because the king had commanded, do not answer them. So here we have the king of Assyria, through his field general, coming into Judah and negotiating with King Hezekiah's people, saying, hey, listen, we can destroy you. We've destroyed every other nation that we've come across. And now he's talking to the people, saying, don't let Hezekiah tell you that God's going to save you. I'm telling you, we're going to destroy you all. But come with me, and we'll give you all these things. So he's trying to downplay God. This is the king of Assyria trying to downplay God. Now, the king of Assyria previously has been a tool of God. God had used him to punish other nations. But it wasn't the strength of Assyria. It was God's strength through Assyria. So really, really important to understand that. So here we have this whole environment. It'd be a great movie if it hasn't already been made. Here's God's being talked down upon, this king of Assyria, and it's going to be interesting to see what God does. So chapter 37. When King Hezekiah heard this, he tore his clothes and put on a sackcloth and went into the temple of the Lord. He sent Eliakim, the palace administrator, Shebna, the secretary, and the leading priest, all wearing sackcloth, to the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos. They told him, this is what Hezekiah says, this day is a day of distress and rebuke and disgrace, as when children come to the moment of birth and there is no strength to deliver them. It may be that the Lord your God will hear the words of the field commander, whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to ridicule the living God, and he will rebuke him for the words of the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, pray for the remnant that still survives. Then King Hezekiah's officials came to Isaiah. Isaiah said to them, tell your master, and this is so the master being King Hezekiah, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid of what you heard, those words with which you understand, those words with which the understanding of the king of Assyria has blasphemed me. Listen, when he hears a certain report, I will make him want to return to his own country, and there I will have him cut down with the sword. So here's God knowing exactly what he's going to do, and he's telling King Hezekiah, do not be afraid. When the field commander heard that the king of Assyria had left Lachish, and he withdrew and found the king fighting against Libna. Now Sennacherib received a report that Tirhakah, the king of Cush, was marching out to fight against him. When he heard it, he sent messengers to Hezekiah with this word, say to Hezekiah, king of Judah, do not let the God you're depending on deceive you when he says, Jerusalem will not be given into the hands of the king of Assyria. Surely you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all other countries, destroying them completely. And will you be delivered? Did the gods of the nations that were destroyed by my predecessors deliver them, the gods of Gozan, Haran, Resva, and the people of Eden who were in Tel Azar? Where is the king of Hamath and the king of Arpad? Where are the kings of Lyre and Sepharim, Hena and Lephar? Hezekiah's prayer. Hezekiah received a letter from the messengers and read it. Then he went up to the temple of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of all the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Give ear, Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, Lord, and see. Listen to all the words of Sennacherib and has sent to ridicule the living God. It is true, Lord, that the Assyrian kings have laid waste to all these peoples and their lands. They have thrown their gods into the fire and destroyed them, for they were not gods, but only wood and stone fashioned by human hands. Now, Lord God, deliver us from this hand so that all the kingdoms on earth may know that you, Lord, are the only God. Then Isaiah, son of Amos, sent a message to Hezekiah. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Because you have prayed to me concerning Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is the word the Lord has spoken against him. Virgin daughter Zion despises and mocks you. Daughter Jerusalem tosses her head as you flee. Who is it you have ridiculed and blasphemed? Against whom have you raised your voice and lifted your eyes in pride? against the Holy One of Israel. By your messengers you have ridiculed the Lord. You have said, with my many chariots I have ascended the heights of the mountains, the utmost heights of Lebanon. I have cut down the tallest cedars, the choicest of its junipers. I have reached its remotest heights, the finest of its forest. I have dug wells in foreign lands and drunk the water there. With the soles of my feet I have dried up all the streams of Egypt. Have you not heard? Long ago I ordained it. In days of old I planned it. Now I have brought it to pass, that you have turned fortified cities into piles of stones. Their people, drained of power, are dismayed and put to shame. They are like plants in the field, like tender green shoots, like grass sprouting on the roof, scorched before it grows up. But I know where you are, and when you come and go, and how you rage against me. Because you rage against me, and because your insolence has reached my ears, I will put my hook in your nose and my bit in your mouth, and I will make you return by the way you came. This will be the sign for you, Hezekiah. This year you will eat what grows by itself, and the second year what springs from that. But in the third year, sow and reap, plant vineyards and eat their fruit. Once more, a remnant of the king of Judah will take root below and bear fruit above. For out of Jerusalem will come a remnant, and out of the Mount Zion a band of survivors. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Therefore, this is what the Lord says concerning the king of Assyria. He will not enter the city or shoot an arrow here. He will not come before it with a shield or build up a siege ramp against it. By the way that he came, he will return. He will not enter this city, declares the Lord. I will defend this city and save it for my sake and for the sake of my servant David. Then the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 of the Assyrian camp. When the people got up the next morning, there were all dead bodies. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, broke camp and withdrew. He returned to Nineveh and stayed there. One day, while he was worshiping in the temple of his god Nisroch, his sons Adramel and Sheres killed him with a sword, and they escaped to the land of Ararat. And Esarhaddon, his son, succeeded him as king. Well, there you have it. Assyria threatens Judah and really speaks ugly of God. God hears it and would have none of it, and took matters into his own hand. He basically wiped out his entire army. 185,000 Assyrians woke up one day dead. And the Spirit of God is strong indeed. He is God of all. So we're going to stop there after reading chapter 37. Well, next week we'll pick up with chapter 38. I want to thank you for joining our program today, and I want to say a prayer for you all. I want to ask God to bless you and to keep you and to make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he turn his face towards you and give you his peace, his everlasting peace, his awesome peace, the peace that I desire and the peace I wish for you. So we've run out of time for today's episode of Reflections. Be sure to listen next week. We hope you've enjoyed our program. My name again is Jim DeJunis, and I'm reading to you today for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections is available in a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Again, that is ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, any feedback, please call us at 919-832-5138. Again, that's 919-832-5138. Thank you. May God bless you and your loved ones this day and every day.